Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. I remember a day as a young mom many, many years ago, battling fear and anxiety over Lyme disease, health issues, and the resulting financial stress it all caused. I felt it physiologically, that visceral anxiety, fear, worry, the what if, all rising up within me. And I remember hearing the Lord just whisper to my heart, "Suzy, I have given you authority. Now take authority." And I'd memorized Luke 10:19, so I knew exactly what Jesus was talking about. He says, "I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy. You can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them, and nothing will injure you." He said, "I've given you authority, so take authority." And he just spoke to my heart and said, "Every time you turn your back on faith to behold fear, you weaken your stance. So turn your back on fear and behold faith. And take authority." So I did. I marched around my house and I said, "God, you've not given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and sound mind. And this anxiety is not from you either. So I take authority over it. I put it under my feet and I stand in the authority that you've entrusted to me. I'm choosing to believe you in this very scary situation." Well, that's what we're talking about today, is exercising our authority. I can't think of anybody better to talk about it than our good friend Mark Batterson. He's taking time out of his busy schedule. Usually we get him on when he has a new book. Do you know how blessed we are to get him when we're just, he's given us time? He recently did a message at his own church titled "Exercise Your Authority." So he's joining us. We're going to draw from that content. We'll post that link to that sermon in the show notes. I highly recommend it. And also, his ministry is offering 5 copies of one of his books we've talked about in the past, "Please, Sorry, Thanks, The 3 Words That Change Everything." So if you want in on the drawing, text the word "book" to 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. So here's my question. I like to ask you a question because, you know, part of my love language is you texting in and let me know how you're doing, what you're thinking. What area or issue in your life right now has been kind of running amok? Like, what area or issue do you need to take authority over? Is it fear, anxiety, inferiority, insecurity? Tell me now. Would you text me? 877-933-2484. Now let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Mark Batterson is lead pastor of National Community Church in Washington, D.C., one church in multiple locations. NCC owns and operates Ebenezer's Coffee House, the Miracle Theater, the D.C. Dream Center, and the Capitol Turnaround. Just amazing. Mark holds a Doctor of Ministry degree from Regent University. He's a New York Times bestselling author of 23 books. His newest books include "Please, Sorry, Thanks, 3 Words That Change Everything," and "The Best Worst Day Ever." That's a children's book he co-authored with his daughter, Summer. Pastor Mark, so honored to have you with us again. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Suzy. It's always a joy.
Looking forward to the conversation. And it means especially a lot that you're stepping away from your very busy schedule to talk about a sermon that you gave. You don't have to do that. And I just thank you so much. So before we dig in, though, I ask this question every single day, and I know you know the question. It's just making it personal. What's the Lord been talking to you about these days?
Well, I think I'm growing in my love for Jesus as this unique enigma or paradox, Suzy. He is the Son of Man, but he's also the Son of God. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, but he's also the Lamb of God. You find in Jesus grace and truth. Grace means I'll love you no matter what. Truth means I'll be honest with you no matter what. Jesus is in a category by himself, and I've followed Jesus, by the way, since I was 5 years old after watching a movie called The Hiding Place, and it was actually in a church in Minneapolis as a young boy. And so, the longer I follow him, Suzy, the more I realize what an incredibly kaleidoscopic personality he is, which should come as no surprise because I believe he is who he said he was, the Son of God.
Oh, so good. This is why we asked that question. Wow, very good. Well, I think it was 7 years ago, maybe a little bit longer, around 7 years ago, you did a series in your church on mountain moving faith. And you decided, I love this part of your story so much, Mark, because you decided to ask some bold things from God. But this thing wasn't a new issue for you, the thing that you asked God to intervene on. You've asked him before, but you had the courage and the guts to go, I'm going back again. This time I'm going to appeal to God in a bold way. Tell us what happened and tell us what the issue was for you.
Yeah, my earliest memory is an asthma attack. And I woke up in the middle of the night, had to go into my parents' room. I couldn't breathe. My dad rushed me to North Memorial Hospital, got a shot of epinephrine. And for the next 40 years, an inhaler went everywhere I went, Susie. I slept with an inhaler under my pillow. I played basketball with an inhaler in my sock. There weren't 40 days and 40 years that I didn't have to take multiple puffs of a rescue inhaler. But I also felt like, and I knew that God could heal. And I had asked so many times, but sometimes you just have to ask one more time. I mean, what if the Israelites had stopped circling Jericho on day six? What a tragedy that would have been. And so on July 2nd, 2016, I prayed a bold prayer. God, would you heal my lungs? And something unbelievable happened. I have not touched an inhaler from that day to this day. It's still unbelievable to me, but God healed my lungs. And Susie, you know, to celebrate that miracle, I actually did something that I could not have done with asthma. I ran a marathon, the Chicago Marathon, and I still smile every time I say it, because testimony is prophecy, and someone needed to hear that today. That if God did it for me, he can do it for you. And if he did it before, he can do it again.
Come on.
And so I'm just believing that sometimes, Susie, sometimes I need to borrow faith from other people. But sometimes I'm so full of faith, I can loan my faith to other people one way or the other. That's really what it means to be part of the kingdom of God, part of the body of Christ, part of a community of faith. That we are always loaning and borrowing each other's faith.
Come on. Amen. Somebody got to text me an amen on that one. You know, a friend sent me an email the other day, and I'll have to check this out for myself, but she said, did you know that half of the miracles in the New Testament happened because of the faith of friends? And I'm like, if that's true, that's amazing, because I use that term too, borrowing my faith. There's times I have faith to loan and lend. Other times I need someone else's faith. And I just love this so much, because this was trauma. I mean, you told it in a point A to point B kind of way. But other times when you and I've talked about it, this was trauma. Like, you were code blue at times. And I mean, imagine not being able to breathe, friends. I mean, and there was one time in your story that it makes me laugh, but I think someone had come to your home, you were younger, and they had a word from the Lord that you would be healed, and they prayed for you, and something got healed, but it wasn't your asthma.
Well, let's just say God has a sense of humor, because I woke up the next morning and I still had asthma, but all the warts on my feet were gone, which is hilarious. This is a true story. And I remember thinking, Susie, like, is prayer like the game of telephone? Did something get confused between here and heaven? Like, right now, there's someone who's breathing great, but still has warts on their feet, while I still have asthma and all of my warts are gone. But it was the first time that I heard what I would describe as the still small voice of the Holy Spirit, that inaudible yet unmistakable voice. And I felt like God said, Mark, I just wanted you to know that I'm able. Mm-hmm. And he's not just able, he's able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within us. And so I held on to that moment. And sometimes I think one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to jog our memory. The Spirit works in the subconscious in supernatural ways. And I think sometimes we just need to be reminded of what God has done before so that we have the faith to believe him to do it again. And yeah. I think that moment marked me at 13 years of age.
You know, what stands out to me knowing you for so many years is that you kept your heart humble. You kept yourself positioned on the path of God's promises. You kept your heart in it as far as serving God. So you asked him, then you got your warts healed. And then, you know, you went on, but you continued to follow God, serve him, help other people heal, all the while carrying an inhaler in your sock. And I just think that is such a picture of living with the mystery, you know, really, really trusting God and living with the mystery, but then daring to ask one more time. And I got to ask this because I don't remember this part. Did you feel any kind of physical sensation? What did you do after the bold prayer? I mean, or did it occur to you just a few days later, I'm not using my rescue inhaler? How did that manifest?
Well, I went 3 or 4 days and I never went 3 or 4 days without my inhaler. So I remember thinking, Susie, like, because I didn't feel a burning sensation in my chest. There wasn't a physical manifestation. But I went a full week. And Susie, what a moment. The next week, our worship team had no idea, but they sang that song. I think it's Great Are You, Lord, but there's a yes. line of lyrics that says, it's your breath in my lungs. And Susie, when they started singing that, I dropped to my knees. It was like I couldn't stay standing. It turned into holy ground. And I just felt like, Lord, I think you're healing me. But this is where I want to be really careful, because I know people are listening, and I better say this up front. Oswald Chambers said, let God be as original with others as he was with you. So God's going to heal each of us in a way that's unique. And some of us, our healing does happen in heaven. And so I want to acknowledge that. But I also know that sometimes heaven can invade earth. And my word of advice, this is kind of me putting my pastor hat on, Susie. One, praise God for partial miracles. Like, don't wait until it's the whole thing. Praise God along the way. And then you're going to second guess, just like Peter when he got out of the boat and he's walking on the water. Like, be careful not to focus on the wind and the waves and the circumstances. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. And then, you know, along the way, ultimately, you're going to need to get just confirmations and words from the Lord. And so I was out running about 2 weeks later, Susie, and I said, Lord, I need a verse to stand on. I need a promise. And the Lord took me to Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, this moment where Jesus opens a deaf man's ears and with a single word, Ephatha. And that was the word that the Lord spoke to me while I was out running. And I held on to it. And that verse is so meaningful to me because it's a reminder to me that with a single word, God can heal everything. Listen, if God can create the universe with let there be light, what can't he do? If God can create the universe with 4 words, what are we worried about? All we need is 1 word from God.
Come on.
And I got that word and I'm grateful.
Wow, amazing. And what do you do as we go to break here? Think about this, friend. If you're following Jesus, you're on his heels, you love him, you're listening, and he leads you right into a storm. We're going to talk about that on the other side, talking about exercising our authority in Christ, drawing from a recent message Pastor Mark Batterson gave to his church. We will link that sermon in the show notes so you can watch it. I watched it twice to prepare for today and to encourage my own heart. But isn't this amazing? I think if you can live with mystery, keep your heart humble and teachable, stay on the path of his promises, and just live with that open-handed wonder. Any day now, I'm going to see God break through in his will, his way, his time. But I don't want to miss what he has for me. We'll be back in a moment. This is Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. I don't know about you, but I love consistent nourishment. I love to fast on occasion. There's a purpose in that. But if you go too long without eating on a regular basis because you're too busy, your body actually goes into crisis mode. Well, in the same way, your soul, your spirit, they need nourishment too. And that's why it's so important to be listening to scripture, listening to good teaching on a consistent basis throughout the day. That's why we're here. We love what we do, and we want to do it with you. If you listen on the radio, on the terrestrial signal, we encourage you, download our free Faith Radio app. That way, if you're traveling this season, you can take us with you wherever you go. You can catch the live shows or even the podcast after the fact. And we've made it easier than ever. All you have to do is text the word app to 877-933-2484 and then click the link. I hope you will walk with us on this journey. Greater things are yet to be done in and all around us because God, well, He's on the move. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live. We have one of our favorites on the show today, Dr. Pastor Mark Batterson, best-selling author, great shepherd of the flock, and a great friend of the show. And he was so kind to join us today, not even to highlight a book, but to draw from a recent sermon he gave at his church. We wanted him to come on and talk about it. But we are giving away, thanks to his ministry, 5 copies of his book, Please, Sorry, Thanks, the 3 words that change everything. If you want in on the drawing to get one of Mark's books, text the word book to 877-933-2484. We're talking about exercising authority. And Mark, take us to that place in Mark's gospel where the disciples followed Jesus. They got in the boat, and it seems he led them right into a storm.
Yeah, he's on that boat on the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee is 800 feet below sea level. And then you've got the mountains around the Sea of Galilee that are 2,500 feet above sea level. And that topography would cause these very sudden, very violent storms. And part of what I love about the story, Susie, is that Jesus is taking a nap in the boat. And I have to say, I think a NASA study found that a 26-minute nap increases productivity by 34%. So
come on.
I'm all for napping. Yes. But there's this moment then where the disciples wake him up. And Susie, I feel like it's a little bit of a microcosm of what's happening in our culture right now. They wake him up and say, "Don't you care if we drown?" Which, one, it had to be a pretty bad storm if some of these professional fishermen are worried about drowning. But two, like really, you've seen him love people, you've seen him do miracles. Like now in a crisis, you're going to accuse him. But we play the blame game so quickly. It seems like in our culture, everybody is blaming everybody else for everything, and it's not going to solve anything. And so in that crisis, I love what Jesus does. He doesn't just grab an oar and start rowing towards shore. He doesn't just grab a pail and start to bail the boat. He stands up in the boat and he rebukes the wind and the waves and he stops a storm in its tracks. And it's this incredible picture of his authority, not just over sin, not just over sickness, not just over evil spirits. It's his authority over the very creation that he called into being. And so what a moment on that Sea of Galilee. And I bet there's a few people listening, Susie, that find themselves in a storm. And I would just remind us, that's when you want Jesus in the boat. You want Jesus in the boat when you find yourself in the middle of the storm. And in fact, could I just take a moment right now? I just feel like we need to pray.
I was actually going to just ask you to do that because I'm thinking of people listening today. I feel sure of it. I feel the sense in my heart that there's some right now that are maybe hurt by God, that they're wondering, don't you care? They had that same question because they're like, I followed you and here's where you lead me, so, led me. So I'd love it, Mark, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, Lord, right now, you know our names. You know the number of hairs on our head. You keep our tears in your bottle. You love us and care for us. And so, Lord, I pray right now for those that find themselves in a relational situation, a financial situation, an emotional situation where it feels like the waves are overtaking the boat, where it feels like they could sink. Lord, I don't believe that they're listening to this by accident. This is a divine appointment. And so right now we speak faith. We speak an extra measure of grace. We speak your love. We speak your goodness. Mm-hmm. Lord, thank you that even when we're tempted to give up on you, you don't give up on us. And so, Lord, right now, we give that situation over to you. We need some divine intervention. We need a miracle. And so, Lord, we ask for it and we pray for it in Jesus' name.
Thank you,
Lord. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you for being so sensitive to the Spirit. I was quickened in exactly the same way to just pause and do that. So you beat me to it. So grateful. One of the things you said in this message, you said, if Jesus is in the boat, all bets are off. Hear that again, friend. If Jesus is in the boat, all bets are off. There is a peace that passes understanding. His name is Jesus. And he's saying to you today, peace be still. Stand still and you will see the deliverance of the Lord. Be still and know that I am God. Say a bit more about that, if you would.
Yeah, Susie, I have some rules of life that serve as guidelines and guardrails for me. And I won't share too many of these, but one of them, you know, or two of them, here they are. When things go bad, don't play the victim. And when things go good, don't play God. Wow. I think you have to realize that life is going to put you in situations that are really challenging. There are some things on this side of eternity that we'll never figure out. In fact, I'll even push the envelope a little bit and say that life is unfair, then we die. But I also want to quickly say that we don't believe in happily ever after. We believe in something bigger and better and longer and stronger. We believe in happily forever after. And so I would remind us, God is writing a bigger story. God is writing a better story. And sometimes it's when that adversity hits us. It's when we find ourselves at a low point that's the moment that God can show off his power, his grace, his love. And we don't wish that on ourselves. We don't wish that on family and friends. But you know what? Sometimes we find ourselves in those storms, and those are the moments that we better make sure that we fix our eyes on Jesus. And let's not just take it sitting down. Jesus gave us his authority, and every prayer has to be in the will of God and for the glory of God. But I think we could afford to pray some bolder prayers and afford to pray some prayers that are beyond our ability. And so that's what challenges me in this story.
Boy, it's so good. You said, and I think it was Draw the Circle or Circle Maker, that God's not insulted by prayers that are too big, but rather prayers that are too small or things that we can accomplish on our own, that he wants us to come boldly and ask audaciously, as you said, humbly, in the will of God for the glory of God, and then all bets are off. So when we come back, I want you to talk about some of the observations you made around this story in Mark's gospel, and one of them is that sometimes God delivers us from, sometimes God delivers us through. And we all want to be delivered from, but there are some benefits to being delivered through. We'll talk about that with Mark Batterson on the other side. Dr. Mark Batterson is my guest today. Thanks to his ministry and his publisher, we've got 5 copies of his book, Please, Sorry, Thanks, The 3 Words That Change Everything. He could write a whole book on those topics, and it's amazing. So text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning in today to Susie Larson Live. I'm Susie, talking to our friend, Dr. Mark Batterson, also such a friend of the program, a best-selling author, an amazing leader. We're drawing from one of his recent sermons, Exercising Your Authority. We are going to link up that sermon in our show notes today. You'll want to watch it. It's fantastic. But we're looking at Jesus and the disciples in the storm in Mark's gospel. And Jesus did tell us, I've given you authority, so take authority. So what does that look like? We'll cover that in just a few minutes. But right now, let's look at some of the observations you made from the story and from other stories in Scripture and your own story, Mark, is that sometimes God delivers from, sometimes God delivers through, like the furnace, the lion's den, others. So say more about that if you would.
Yeah, you know, Susie, this is pretty personal. I know you fought some physical battles. I fought some physical battles. And my wife, Laura, has fought a couple battles with cancer the last couple of years, and she's doing well. She's on the other side of radiation from this last bout. But, you know, when she was first diagnosed, she read a poem that posed a question. And the question was this: what have you come to teach me? And that's a really hard question to ask when you get a cancer diagnosis. But it's the question you have to ask. Like, you have to learn from it. You have to figure out how to grow through it. And, you know, it was Charles Spurgeon who said, I have learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages. And I have learned so much from my wife, Laura, over recent years, just watching her, the way that she's gone through some pain and some suffering. But, you know, one thing you have to do, Susie, is you have to forgive reality. It is what it is. Like,
right,
there's some circumstances you can't change, but now you can control your response to them. And I would suggest God has given us responsibility, the ability to choose our response. And that's not an easy message to hear or to say, but I have a sense that there are a lot of people listening who are walking through some of those very same kinds of challenges. And I might challenge them with that same question: what have you come to teach me?
Such an amazing question. And I'd love to know what Laura would say that she learned from these two battles, not one, but two battles with cancer. What would she say on the other side?
Wow. Well, I think first of all, she would say that important things get a lot more important and unimportant things get a lot less important. There's a prioritizing that happens when life is in the balance and you're not sure what the prognosis is. And then, you know, I don't want to over-spiritualize it either, Susie. I think we read a book that just, that was really helpful to us. And it talked about the importance of keeping a sense of humor. So this is going to sound ridiculous, but when she got that diagnosis, we started hitting comedy clubs because we felt like we needed to exercise our sense of humor. And I do believe that humor is part of the image of God. It's one thing that sets humankind apart. But we found that we better laugh. We better find things to laugh at during a heavy and hard season. So those are just a couple of the things that come to mind immediately.
You know, I love brain science and I love the physiological, how it connects with the spiritual, just my background in fitness. And there is something so powerful and healing about laughter. It actually helps restore your adrenal glands, which, you know, gets you really wear you down when you're in fight flight. So you would know the enemy wants you in fight flight. He wants you in fear. And when you're in laughter, you're out of fight flight. So it helps your adrenals be replenished and restored. And so God just is so wise in the way that he's wired us and the things he calls us to. So I love that. I think that's amazing. Well, you're talking about in the sermon too, you know, so sometimes God delivers from, sometimes God delivers through. But you say there are two distinct advantages when God chooses to deliver through. We, of course, want from. Get me out of this. But when he delivers through, there are two distinct advantages. One is an intimacy that's cultivated through adversity, that can't happen any other way, and that tough times teach us lessons that we can't be learned any other way. And that first one, I want you to unpack it, but I just wanted to say that I've been thinking a lot about Paul's words. I want to know him, he says. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. And for me, as I've been thinking a lot about that, Mark, about those are the two places where you realize he's God and you're not, and he's so much greater than, I mean, you think about the resurrection power that visited your body and delivered you from asthma, and then you think about the fellowship of suffering as you walked through that journey with Laura. Both of those places, God was very near, and you engaged in an intimacy with God that you couldn't have any other way.
Yeah, and I don't know how to say this any other way, but in recent years, as I've gone through a little bit of counseling, and some of that has been grief counseling, what I've discovered is that grief somehow has increased my capacity for joy. I don't know how else to say it.
Wow.
But we love the first part of that verse that you just quoted, the power of the resurrection. And listen, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. So let's live in that. But I think it's suffering that you begin to identify with Jesus on the cross. I think suffering has a sanctifying effect. And I think it's in seasons of pain and suffering that you discover this ever-present help in time of need. And so it's a part of the human experience. Somehow in our Western world and in our 21st century, we have done everything we can to insulate ourselves against things like death and dying, things like pain and suffering. But the truth is, it's going to knock on your door. That, like, there's not anybody whose door it doesn't knock on. And so in those circumstances, what a difference to know that you're not by yourself, that there can actually be a purpose to it, and that there's another side to it, that God can redeem it, recycle it. And then we have an eternity with him to look forward to, because we are going to get glorified bodies. We are going to experience that ultimate healing. There will be no more death or dying or crying or pain. And so, you know, he, ironically, I think it was Nietzsche who said, he who has a why can get through almost any how. I think it was him. And this idea that we have a why, and that why is to give God glory. That is our ultimate purpose. It's the, you know, it's the first tenet of the Westminster Catechism, to glorify God and enjoy him forever.
Forever. Love that.
And we can do that through good times, and we can do it through bad times.
Hmm. If you don't mind, Pastor, saying a little bit more about grief counseling, as only as much as you feel led to share. But I think that's super interesting. And I would venture to guess, especially after these 3 years, that there are so many unresolved losses in hearts of people. And they're living with this lingering level of grief that they maybe haven't even identified, maybe a sadness, disappointment, because life didn't turn out the way they thought. But I think when you compare your losses to someone else's worst loss, you don't give yourself permission to heal. So I'm super curious. Would you mind sharing about that?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things I would say is that grief is going to be as unique as you are. And we have got to give each other license to grieve in a way that's healthy and holy. And, you know, I've experienced grief at the loss of a loved one, and that's in a unique category. But much of the grief of the last few years did have to do with a pandemic, with a church that we couldn't gather for a year and 2 weeks because of DC government mandate. You know, there were a lot of people that, where did they go? We experienced loss in some ways that it was tough to put my finger on. And I realized that I shouldn't just ignore the sadness, that I needed to move into it. In fact, let me paint a picture real quick. This will be meaningful to someone. When cows sense a storm coming, their instinct is to migrate in the opposite direction. But that backfires because all you're doing is prolonging the storm. Buffalo have the exact opposite instinct. They actually move toward the storm, Susie. And because of it, they get to the storm quicker, but they also get through it quicker because they have intentioned themselves to walk through it. And I think there's something to be learned from the buffalo, that if you run away from grief, if you run away from sadness, if you run away from pain or trauma or anything else, it's just going to prolong the effect. So sooner or later, you have to walk through it. But guess what? You have to walk through it with God's help, and His grace is sufficient. That is not just the word. That's the word of God. His grace is sufficient, and He is going to get you to the other side.
Well, what's it done for your soul? I mean, as busy as you are, Mark, all the initiatives that you guys have got going on, what's it done for your soul to create some time and space to feel so that you can heal?
You know, the one word that comes to mind, Susie, is empathy.
Wow.
Like when you walk through tough times, you're less quick to judge and a little bit quicker to show some empathy. So another rule of life that I have is that everyone is fighting a battle I know nothing about. And so that gives me a measure of grace that, Susie, even when someone, that's not a license for someone else to be unkind or to say things that are mean or untrue. But when that happens, what I realize is people aren't reacting to me. They're reacting to their past pain. And so I think some of the trials and tribulations I've walked through has given me a greater ability to empathize. And isn't this the example that Jesus set? We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. So, you know, what makes us think, while we're on the subject, that we can become like Jesus without being betrayed by Judas or denied by Peter or mocked by Pharisees or crucified by Roman soldiers? Like, this is life. Life is not easy, but with God's help, we can not only survive, we can actually thrive. We don't have to become bitter. We can become better. And I'm not just alliterating words. That is the reality of my experience. And on that note, I think your explanations are more important than your experiences. That it's not what you walk through. We've all watched people walk through the same kind of challenge, but they come out very different kinds of people. And so it's allowing God to help us and to heal us and to sustain us. And I would believe that for every person listening today.
So good. You talked about Laura on the other side of two battles with cancer, now is helping others with cancer. She used to have a kind of upfront ministry, and now she's got a behind the scenes ministry, only because that's where God is using her profoundly in the lives of so many hurting people. And you said in your message, if you want to discover your ministry to other people, know this: your ministry will be in proximity to your pain. He redeems it by recycling it. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Pastor, I'd love for you to unpack this statement: whatever you tolerate will eventually dominate. What do you put up with? What do you tolerate? Because what you tolerate will eventually dominate. Pastor Mark Batterson will unpack that one when we come back. Don't forget, we got a handful of copies of his book, Please, Sorry, Thanks, Three Words That Change Everything. Text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Hi, I'm Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. I wrote the book Closer Than Your Next Breath. Where is God when you need him most? He's closer than your next breath. I remember as a young Christian having moments where I encountered God in a way that changed everything, that showed me something of his character or of my need, my tendency towards insecurity or unbelief. But in those in-between times where God seemed silent, I started to panic. I forgot who I was. I didn't understand who he is. And you need to know, when you're walking through those in-between seasons, you've got to tether yourself to the goodness of God. Get to know the character of God, because he's always good. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. If we don't understand his character, we'll try to go from one sensational event to another. We chase the sensational, and we miss the supernatural. God is with you right here, right now. Notice his handiwork in the sunrise, in the sunset, in the laughter of a child. You're right now standing on answers to prayer that you prayed some time ago. God is with you. He is closer than your next breath, and he will always be for you. There is nothing like God's presence. That's why I'm so excited to share this resource with you. Thanks to W Publishing, Faith Radio is giving away 100 copies of my new book, Closer Than Your Next Breath. Where is God when you need him most? Enter to win your copy now at myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. We have one of our favorites on the show today, best-selling author Dr. Mark Batterson. And he's not even here to talk about a new book. He's here to give us time because we wanted to draw from a sermon that he recently delivered at his church, National Community Church, and it was on exercising our authority in Christ. It was so good. I watched it twice, and we have a link in the show notes today, so be sure to watch it. You'll be so encouraged. We're looking at Mark's gospel when the disciples were in the storm and Jesus was sleeping. I mean, literally sleeping. He had to be woken up, and he wakes up, and the disciples are asking, "Don't you care?" And his question is, "Where's your faith?" And he rebukes the wind and the waves. And in that message, Mark, you said, "Whatever you tolerate will eventually dominate. Give the enemy an inch, he'll take a mile. All he wants is a foothold so he can turn it into a stronghold. But wherever you have victory, you have authority." I would love for you to unpack that.
Yeah, well, Suzy, I think, you know, the enemy, we have game film on the enemy going all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm. And so his tactics should probably not surprise us. He's not looking for some kind of major issue in your life. He's looking for a foothold, just that little compromise, the little untruth that you believe, the false narrative, the false assumption. And so I think we have to be careful to guard ourselves. And by the way, there's an old acronym, HALT, hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. That's probably when you want to have your guard on, so to speak. So the enemy, you know, wants that foothold. And if you tolerate it, it will eventually dominate you. One of the big decisions we make, and Paul called it, Paul said some things are permissible, but they're not beneficial. Yeah. And I think we have to be careful not to settle for what is permissible, but continue to grow into all of the good things that God has for us. So then I would flip that equation and say, yeah, where you have victory, you have authority. So Suzy, I love praying for people who have asthma, because I've been healed. I have the faith. Now, guess what? It's not going to happen the same way for them as it did for me. And I don't get to set the agenda or the timeline, but I can exercise my faith for other people. And so I just think that there are moments in time where you have to stop talking to God about the mountain and start talking to the mountain about God. You have to begin to exercise your authority. You have to begin to proclaim the promises of God. You have to begin to, I mean, can I just go old school, plead the blood of Jesus? Like, you have to begin to believe that he is who he said he is and that he can do what he said he can do. And so I guess I'm a little bit of a simpleton. I really believe if we do what they did in the Bible, God will do what he did. His power is not weakened. His arm is not shortened. And I think we need to have the kind of faith that moved mountains 2,000 years ago. We don't need it any less now than they did then.
Amen. And this idea that where you have victory, you have authority, I want to just, you know, unpack this even a bit, because Laura walked through, and you walked through plenty, 40 years of asthma, for crying out loud, but you then got delivered from, yet both of you have authority to help people in these similar situations. And me, you know, battling Lyme for 3 decades, I'm more healed now than I've ever been. And I learned from you years ago, celebrate the small victories. On my good days, I will tell you, I feel better than I have my whole adult life. So I've gained a lot of ground. I'm still not symptom-free, but what I've walked through, contending for the promises, recognizing enemy patterns of theft in my life, I have some things to say about this. And I say that to say, you listening today, you might write off that statement to go, well, I don't have victory yet, because you're not where you want to be yet. But if you're still standing and you still love Jesus and you're still humbly teachable before him, Mark, wouldn't you say they have victory? They have measure of victory for the, authority over the things that they've walked through?
Yeah, if you're breathing right now, it means that, you know, God got you here, and God has plans and purposes for your future. Can I get theological for a moment? Because
Please.
There's something about that question that just reminds me of this simple fact that we live at the intersection of two theologies, two realities. One, the faithfulness of God is pursuing us from the past. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And so I look over my shoulder, Susie, and I say, so far, so God. He has been faithful. Mm-hmm. But then the sovereignty of God is setting us up for the future. And so the best is yet to come. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works prepared for us in advance. And so God's got us cornered. God is in our past. He's in our future. And so let's remind ourselves that we live at this place where his faithfulness and his sovereignty is at work. And that is where my holy confidence comes from. Even in the tough times, even when I feel like, oh, I messed up again, or I took a step forward, but I feel like I took 2 steps back. I mean, that's true. That's life. Life is lived that way. But God doesn't waste anything. And he can take everything in your past, use it for his purposes. And I really believe that you have far more authority than what you realize in this moment. And may the Spirit of God reveal the authority, and the Greek word is exousia. It's this idea that we operate from the throne of God, that his authority belongs to us. And so we're not operating in our own authority. That would be a scary thing. We our security, our identity is found in Christ. I am in Christ. Christ is in me. And that is the hope of glory.
Amen. Judy writes in, she said, I needed this clarification regarding having victory. I still have some fear, but I'm still standing, so I can walk in authority. Amen. Amen. That I just wanted that clarification to be out there, because it's so easy to write off going, well, I haven't won yet. But if you can celebrate the victories and celebrate the power that Jesus has entrusted to you. And, you know, it seems almost like, I don't know if this is right, but use it or lose it. When you think about in fitness, use it or lose it, where you don't lose salvation, you don't use God's love, lose his love. But that delegated influence, if you squander it because you're constantly coddling insecurity, inferiority, if you never really decide to activate and take God at his word, I do feel like you're relegating your influence. You know, if you're not using it, you're losing your influence. You're still loved, you're still saved. But I think there at some point we do have to activate to say, oh, kind of like what you're saying, as far as what we tolerate will dominate. So I'll just let you say it, because you're going to say it better than I did.
Well, a lot of us are living below the level of our God-given potential, and we're not exercising the full authority. That's not a guilt trip. That's never how I operate, because I don't think that's ever how God operates. He just calls us into more love, more power, more grace, more of the fullness of His Spirit. And so the good news is, you know, potential is God's gift to us. What we do with it is our gift back to God. And I just imagine, Susie, both for a church that's right here on Capitol Hill in the nation's capital, and Minneapolis and everywhere in between, I imagine the church, which is the body of Christ, which is the bride of Christ, blood bought and fully empowered with delegated authority, operating in the will of God, in the way of God. And that means that in those storms, we're the ones who stand up in the boat when everybody else is panicking. And we say, peace, be still. We're the ones that speak shalom. We're the ones that when we walk into the room, the anxiety goes down.
Come on.
Because God is at work. And before we woke up this morning, He was interceding for us. And after we go to sleep tonight, He's interceding for us. And that should give us some holy confidence and some authority that we then, Susie, operate with humility.
Come on. Well, again, I prayed before the show that God would triple the time you invested in us today. Mark, thank you for the time today. Such a powerful message. And based on the text coming in, I know it resonated with you. Walk in that God-given authority. Stay humble, teachable. Trust God. He's with you. He's for you. Wow, we're so blessed. I'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Suzy Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.